It's Thursday, August 9th, and this is Season 3, Episode 1 of the 4-Star Spurs Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony. With me this week, we have Joe.
Hello.
Nate.
Hey.
Tommy.
Hey, everybody.
Rick.
Hello.
And introducing to the podcast, I want to introduce James. You might know him as Brooklyn Yid on Twitter.
Hello, everyone. It's actually Brooklyn Yid with two zeros, not O's. Some cunt took my name.
So James, you
tweet him your hate mail.
This isn't the only podcast you've been on. You have your own podcast that you do.
I'm a veteran, a Marine Corps veteran, and so I do a veterans podcast for veterans around the world with Lima Charlie News.
And how often do you do that?
We're doing a mini series right now on PTSD and depression and alternative treatments to that, and including watching Spurs, which makes me happy.
And when does it come out?
It's already out. We're on episode 4. It comes out every Monday, about bi-weekly.
Perfect.
Well, to break the ice, we were just talking about Ralph Macchio, and Rick, you have a bone to pick with the Karate Kid and how he kicks.
I didn't know you were going to throw this at us.
I know. We're going to do this.
I didn't know you were going to do this, but okay. It always bugs me in the Karate Kid, you know, because obviously it's a feel-good movie and whatever, but right at the end, when he wins the competition, he does the, what's it called? The
crane kick.
The crane kick, but he kicks him in the head, which is actually an illegal move. You can't kick someone in the head. So he actually won the competition by cheating.
Kicked his fucking head in.
Yeah.
Major plot hole.
So he should have been disqualified and lost.
In Crane in the Membrane.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, Johnny should have been watching out for that. That was blatantly obvious.
Yeah, what where he was else is he going
to Well, didn't Johnny like do something shady beforehand to his leg or his...
No, that was the other guy.
The other guy, yeah.
The other guy.
Yeah,
Sweep the leg. Exactly. But if you look back at that movie... Like, there's a great YouTube video about it where they kind of go into, like, the beginnings of the movie. And if you look at it in a different way, Ralph Macchio is actually the bad guy.
Yeah, he's the bastard in the whole
movie.
He's
like a piece of shit. And that's why they did, like, a new YouTube series, like, focusing on Johnny coming back and, like, beating him up later in life, like now.
He's like the gooner of the movie because he's like a transplant. You don't belong here. Yeah. And then you cheat and win.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it one of those shows like, have you guys seen Zach Morris's Trash? Like, like from Saved by the Bell? Like, they just show how much of a big, like, pathological, crazy person Zach Morris was in that?
Yeah, it's the same thing. He comes from another state. He steals his girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. They were dating.
And then he keeps setting them up to get beaten up by...
And they didn't even hit him until he hit them before he hit them. He drew first blood.
She was giving him pity fucks.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't even like he was worthy of a good fuck.
And then he douses him with water in the bathroom and then runs away like a chicken shit.
Yeah. It's fucking definitely the gooner.
You're onto something here. I think you're onto something.
And then he makes Pat Morita do his dirty work.
He does, yeah. It's like, oh yeah, here's the master you're going to have to deal with.
Come on, Cobra Kai.
Yeah, fuck Ralph Macchio.
But I think it's obvious what we're doing here, and we're dodging talking about... we're going to dodge a little bit more, because I was going to go into the transfer window. But now, you know what? Let's talk about the Midsummer Friendlies first. So
really?
Was there... Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
We're really avoiding this.
We're avoiding this shit.
There's nothing to talk about with transfers, is there?
So what... Who stood out to you guys in this midsummer? It was most of our star players were still in the World Cup, so they didn't play. Yeah. So we got to see a lot of younger talent. So who stood out to you guys?
The midfielders, Amos and Skip, I think, were the two standouts. I didn't really know much about Amos. I know he'd been on loan at, I think it was Stevenage.
Yeah, it was Stevenage.
And you think, well, that's League Two, so it's not even close to being, you know, the level that we're playing at. But he looked really accomplished, and there's talk that he might even play against Newcastle. I think Skip is the better prospect long-term, but he's only 17, and I think in central midfield, you couldn't really put a 17-year-old in Premier League. I think that would be too big a gamble, but... thought those two were superb.
It's a little too early for him.
I think so.
Yeah, no, I'm really high on Skip. And because Eriksen came out and kind of vouched for him in this great quote, how he says, like, I'm not afraid to give the ball to him because I trust him. And having Eriksen trust you at 17, that's got to be a great feeling. And you can tell he's got that confidence. I don't know how to really describe it, but you can tell when, like, a young player, they might have raw talent, but if their mind's not up to the game speed, they're never really going to get there. You see that with a guy like Nkudu, for example, who's got a lot of the skills that are required to be an excellent player, but his mind never seems to be up to the game. What I noticed right off the bat with Skip is that he seemed to have his mind in the pace of the game at a high-quality level.
Rick, you pointed out Skip to me before we even started the preseason games.
Yeah, he reminds me of I'm going back a bit, and some of you may not remember, but he reminds me of a player called Paul Allen.
Yeah.
Maybe Joe will agree. You know, he's a bulldog. You know, he likes, you know, he's a box to box. He likes to tackle. He likes to chase the ball down. He does all of that. And then he's got a bit of a Dembele about him where he can actually go past people.
Mm-hmm.
There was one bit where I think he was going down the left wing and he did a step over and then a twirl and went past the guy like he wasn't even there. It was awesome. I mean, for a 17-year-old, I mean, you're thinking...
Yeah, you want someone with that kind of confidence. Yeah, that's a good sign.
Know, and Pochettino has been quoted as saying, you know, if you're good enough, you're in the team. Doesn't matter, your age is irrelevant. He might be a little too young to play consistently, but for the odd game, why not?
Well, Dele Alli started at 18, right? So that's only a year younger at this point. It's possible you're thinking more next year, but it's possible depending on how things go.
He doesn't mind a tackle. He likes to get
stuck in.
So I'm very high on him.
It's not like dating a girl; age doesn't matter.
But experience does to a certain level.
Unless if you're a pita.
Insert Adam Johnson joke.
I wasn't going to go there, but Tommy did.
You're welcome.
Well, so anything else on any other performance that stood out besides Amos?
I thought Mora did solid. I mean, it was good to see him. I think he's going to have such a bigger role this season. We'll go into that later, really, about how Poch really likes his signings to kind of get – it takes a little bit for them to bed in. You saw it with
He's Sun. Like a new transfer.
Yeah, he's like a new signing.
That's a joke, by before anyone gets angry.
But honestly, I'm going to say this too. He totally is like a new signing. Because he's going to get fully trusted this season. I bet he starts, actually, against Newcastle.
I think he will.
He had probably one of the brighter preseasons than anyone, to be honest, aside from the midfielders. But, I mean,
Son's going to be traveling a lot, so so he won't be as available.
LaMelo's hurt. Who else is hurt?
It's going to give him more of an opportunity, I think. So, yeah, I think we're going to see more of him, and I did like what I saw in this preseason as well.
Well, the one name you're avoiding from saying is Nkudu. I mean, he scored a couple of goals, looked very good. whether he makes the 25-man squad, I don't know. But, you know...
I don't know where he played.
He didn't do himself any harm, put it that way.
He doesn't fit in the team, like the formation. I mean, he's like a winger, and we don't play wingers, so I don't really see how.
Well, it depends how we set up. Now that Toby didn't get sold, which was, in my opinion, a great thing. Mm. If we play three at the back and two wing backs,
I wouldn't want him wing back.
And then we've added Sissoko for a few more years.
Yes,
and then perhaps we could get a little lightning.
Yes,
I am. You're always waiting for it to happen, and it could happen at any moment.
LaMelo can't be scapegoat forever.
No.
So that might be a good transition, since Sissoko seems to be our transfer day, I guess, solution for the club. Maybe we can transfer to the to the transfer window, slamming shut, and Spurs not making any moves. James, let's hear what James has to say, and then Tommy's going to read us the supporters' trust.
I have two sons, and one of the lessons I'm trying to drive home, they're 7 and 9 years old. The hardest thing in life, and this is true as I do a combat podcast as well, combat-related podcast, hardest thing in life is to stay calm. And right now, this window, we stayed calm. I know there's a lot of pessimism. I would have loved to seen Gareth Bale. Don't get me wrong, but Grealish from Villa for $30 million. Where does he fit? It seems like I understand everyone. I was anticipating a lot more because you're opening a new stadium. I expected Man City type, but that's not what we do. We're staying calm. We played away from home. All year last year, 38 matches away from home, finished third. So for people saying, well, now we're finishing sixth, fuck off, man. Like, seriously, like, really?
Well, Tommy, like, let's hear what the Supporters Trust had to say about this, because clearly, like, the fan base was very pessimistic after this window closed. And I think on this podcast, we're going to have a lot of varying opinions. I think this should be an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
But let's hear from the root supporters first.
Okay, so firstly, this came out just today right after transfer window ended, and what I'm reading is in full. Tottenham Hotspur's inability to make any improvements during the summer transfer window to a squad that is so close to achieving great things has dismayed many fans. As the Supporters Trust, it is not our job to involve ourselves in on-field matters, but we have a responsibility to voice the concerns of our fans about the club's ambition and strategy on the pitch, and to ask for a full and believable explanation of how this transfer window has played out. We do not believe in spending money or signing players just for the sake of it. We recognize the achievement in keeping our squad together, for now at least, and in keeping key players to agree new contracts. And we commend manager Mauricio Pochettino's professionalism in his deadline day press conference. He has shown once again his ability to make the most of what he's given. We have much to be proud of Spurs. 9 of our players featured in the World Cup semifinals. Over the last few years, a manager we revere has forged an exciting team that has challenged for top honors. And more fans than the club cares to acknowledge recognize the challenges and achievements of running a sustainable business and building a top-class stadium. But fans come to watch the team, a team that will start the season with many of its key members still tired after the World Cup, and a squad that most rational observers would agree that could benefit from more depth. It's not unreasonable to question if it was really the case that alone among Europe's top clubs, Spurs could find no player who would improve the squad while our rivals strengthened theirs. Earlier this year, the club objected to the Supporters Trust criticism of steep ticket price rises. It is told that we could not expect players to be signed or wages to be competitive while they oppose those ticket price rises. Fans have paid the price asked, and no signings have been made.
So that's pretty strong language. It's long as shit, but I think it needed to be heard. Like a Supporters Trust to come out with, like, there has to be some kind of agreement among the supporters in that trust before a statement like that comes out that strong. So I think it's important that it was read. James has a good point here in what he said, and I think, Rick, probably you're going to have a lot of agreement with James.
I agree with most of that, actually. But I take issue with one thing that was said. They said players are going to be tired after the World Cup. No, they're not. What they're not going to be is match fit. You know, because, you know, a lot of them came back late because of the World Cup. So they've been on vacation. They're not going to be tired. They're just not going to be up to speed. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take a couple of weeks for, you know, some of the World Cup players to actually come back and actually be up to match
fitness. Wouldn't be surprised if a couple of them feature. I'm definitely expect Dyer to be there and Dybala, because they didn't start that many games. Eriksen will be back. Sanchez will play. The guys that were there for preseason will. Son will play. But as far as the 9 players, which is what they were really focusing on, I definitely could see most of them at least on the bench.
Well, which is the thing. They said they're going to be tired. They're not going to be tired.
Right.
They're going to not.
I don't think it's
going to
be a sustainable thing. It's going to be maybe a problem the first 2 games. But after that, I don't think it's going to be an issue either.
No, it just means we might either start them and then give them half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour, and then rotate them out, you know, just to get them up to speed.
And we have a lot of cold starters anyway, so it's not going to be that
Kane
unusual.
Kane doesn't score in August anyway, so... If he's not playing, he's not going to score.
The big issue we have is obviously Son is not going to be available, and we got a couple of injuries which were unexpected.
Those are definitely more pressing concerns.
That's more of the issue, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that, Rick. It seems like people are kind of contradicting themselves over the World Cup, because some people are saying, oh, they're going to be tired, and some people are saying, oh, they're not going to be fit, and they're like the opposite thing. So it can't be, you kind of it both ways. I mean, someone like Dyer and Dembele, who were playing sporadically, like, 2 or 3 games, I don't see how they're going to be tired by it. I think the bigger picture concern is the fact that people like Winks, who we would ideally have had involved in the team, have been injured. So that's where the problem is. There's a lot coming back from the World Cup, or there's a lot that haven't had a proper pre-season.
It's the lack of pre-season that's more worrying to me.
And I think that's what worries people when you see the concerns on the transfer window. I think everyone, just about everybody, was saying it'd be really nice to get a central midfielder in, because there's been a lot of talk about Dembele and this being maybe his last year, or that he was actually going to go in this window, and he was kind of shopped around a little bit. And then you look at the rest of the center midfielders, and we talked about the young guys, but they're still pretty young. Winks, we don't know his fitness, and Dyer had, who's been solid for us, kind of had an up and down year last year, and you're thinking, well, who can be
Wanyama's injured.
Wanyama, yeah, we don't know what the deal with Wanyama
is. This is the thing, because obviously the transfer window, nothing happened. No one left and no one came in. And that just shows that all the in-the-knows and all the media were full of crap. they basically started listing players that we were going to lose, and then Bailey was one of them. But who knows if that's the truth? We don't know. We really don't know.
Highlighting on that, how great was it that Tim Sherwood said, Grealish is going to sign for Spurs. 100%. He sees the gift that keeps on giving. I just thought I'd add that.
He's such a fucking asshole.
He's a fucking loser. But I think going just back on the fatigue part of it, I think there's two different types of fatigue, and I think that might get missed. There's physical fatigue, and then there's just mental fatigue. Mm. And I think the mental fatigue is also just as draining. For if you've been playing football 350 days out of the year, you're going to want to, like, take a minute and,
They have. You know, I mean, Harry Kane's had 3 weeks off. You know.
Well, he's had a new kid, though, too. So.
Yeah, but he's been on holiday. He hasn't been playing. That's the thing.
I'm not worried about him in August. But, I mean, no, I mean, it's... I think it's nice to just get people that are freshly charged and have been removed from the mental... Not even so much a physical, because I still think these players at this level should, not always, keep their physical condition in somewhat good shape.
You don't make Poch's squad unless you're physically fit.
Yeah. Exactly.
You get shipped out if you're not physically fit.
And again, I find this, it's strange because we hear a lot about modern football and the turnoffs of modern football. And again, I'm fresh back from Cuba, so I feel like perhaps... my perspective is a bit shaped on this, but these people just throw money. At what? What are you throwing money at? What are you throwing money at? Who are you bringing in right now that's going to put Eriksen out, and for what reason?
Let's talk about that a bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely that prospect of it. There's the idea of, and Poch brings it up in his book, really well. It's like, if you're going to get the guy in, you can't just buy for the sake of buying. You have to buy the right guy. And for Pochettino, it's very system-driven. It's incredibly system-driven. You can see an example of that is when people maybe leave, they struggle, to be honest. Think about the guys that we've let go under
Chadli,
Pochettino.
Chadli, Bentaleb, none of them.
The guys that we thought, well, Bentaleb especially is one of them, who we thought this guy was going to be the next midfielder. He was going to be the anchor of our team for years and years and years.
According to Sherwood.
Yeah, well, I mean, I mean he's a talented player, and he played a lot under Pochettino, but then that whole shit with the contract, I think he got in a motorcycle accident or whatever, and he was shipped out for bad attitude, and he's gone to Schalke, and he's been, I mean, he hasn't been the guy. Same thing with the guys that come in and come out. NG has been okay, but it's the French league. I mean, what the fuck is that? And the same with Chadli. Chadli struggled at West Brom. He had a couple
of
injuries.
He's been injured, though.
He did have his game-winning goal against Japan, which was nice, so props to him for that. And I do love Nasser Chadli, but he didn't light the world on fire. He wanted to leave to go start somewhere, and he wasn't able to get into the teams that he was sold to. So, I mean, with that said, you got to think about the adaptability of players to this idea or whatever we have. And I know that this comes off as kind of like superiority, but it's just a different way of approaching things. And it's unusual for people, and so it's harder to recognize, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with anything anyone said so far, but I have to say, I think the transfer window has been... it's been a disaster, to be honest, in my opinion, because... Well, I totally agree with everything James said about you can't just throw money around and buy Grealish for 30 million for the sake of it. Like, I'm totally on board with that. But I think Levy's approach is it's a bit outdated, this idea of just waiting all summer, waiting for something to fall into place, like it did with Van der Vaart. I think we dine off the Van der Vaart transfer to this day, and it was like 8 years ago. I think that it's different to like 10 years ago when half our team was not very good, so we could legit have a bit of a scattergun approach and say, let's just buy a right back, let's just buy a, you know, and see what sticks. Now we've got a really good team, like James was saying, so we don't want to replace Eriksen, for example. But we need to be like forensic about it. Like, what's going on at left back? We're going to ship out Danny Rose. Davis is our only left back. I mean, that's Rose is our longest serving player. That doesn't strike me as a strategy, like a proper strategy. And I think we need to identify things like, let's get Sessegnon as a long term replacement at left back. For example, it might not be Sessegnon. That even if you have to overspend to do it, I think it's worth doing as part of a strategy, and I just don't think we have had a strategy this window.
Especially with the window closing early.
Joe, I totally agree with you. It's my biggest issue is not even the buying the players, but it's the fact that there is no contingency plan whatsoever, it feels like. And like I said, or like I read off in the notes from the Supporters Trust, there's 9 players, they're riding high, you know, made the semifinals. Ride the wave. Why isn't Levy and Pochettino trying to find improvements? One would think at least definitely A with scouts or Pochettino, they have people in mind who they would want to sign. So, and the two glaring ones I'll say right now is how you said is Dembele and Toby. And it's not that they're bad they're kind of at the end of their Tottenham careers. We're going to need replacements for them. So might as well set yourself up for success in right now and then ship them off, because once they're on free transfers or at the end of 6 months, they can leave free, and what are you going to do now? There really shouldn't be a wait-and-see approach with this, at least right now, because the club is too good, and, I mean, we'll talk about this later, but I feel like it's a top-6 league right now. We could miss out, potentially.
Right. You've all made valid points, and I agree with most of them. But the problem is, and this has been the problem all summer, we have, you know, you have to register 25 men for your Premiership squad, 17 of which are allowed to be foreign players, and you have to have at least eight homegrown players. Under 21 players don't count. We have 20 foreign players right now. So everybody's screaming, oh my God, we need to buy a couple of players. So if you buy 2 players and they're both foreign, that means we've got 22 foreign players for only 17 places. That means you have to sell or loan 5 players. Which 5? That's the problem.
But that doesn't stop you from purchasing domestic players.
Rick makes a great point, though.
Hold on. Wait for it. And
always got another one.
it all ties in. So with that in mind, you're thinking, okay, we need to buy homegrown players, okay? And the problem with that is, there's 2 problems with that. One, homegrown players of the caliber that we want are ridiculously expensive. And 2, are they better than what we already have? And the answer to the second one is no.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to the first one is, do you want to spend 35 million on Grealish? No.
Nope.
No. And it also hampers the fact that what Pochettino's been able to do the last 3-plus years he's been in charge is we've been culling the fat from the squad. And that's been raising a bunch of revenue. So it's the first part you talk about, and it's the second part, is that all these fringe players that we've kind of let go of over the past few years,
Kapoue.
We have a very trimmed squad now about people that we don't have like kind of more access to. Or who we're going to go after.
But we still have 20 foreign players for 17 places.
Because those were the best players that we had, so we didn't trim them off at the time. Maybe, like, you could talk about Nkudu or Sissoko, but still, they were players that were still playing rather than just players that were either in Poch's doghouse or, for whatever reason, were out of the squad. Maybe it was quality as well. So take that into account, plus your rule, and it puts the targets we have
It's very small.
Saying that, regardless, Grealish isn't making our starting team,
But he's the perfect kind of player to get that you want Poch to have and to be able to mold.
But not for $35 million. That's my issue.
That's the thing. At what point, what are we putting a price tag on here? Because we're not putting a price tag on what Grealish is now, so you're putting a price tag on what he is going to be later. Mm. But $35 million, we pay $30 million for Sissoko. I have more faith in Grealish than I do Sissoko. Yeah, and that $5 million difference, I still have more faith in Grealish.
But other players similar to Grealish have gone for $20 million, and that's my issue.
I know, and there's Levy, and that's the Levy factor. It works for good and bad in this situation.
And Nate really stole the words out of my mouth. Like, we played $30 million for Sissoko, and what did we get? A player that can come in to finish off a game sometimes.
Locker room guy, though. Let me say
a
that.
Locker room guy.
Can finish off a game sometimes. He's the Jason Hayward of the team.
He can occasionally fill in. But Grealish is a young player that has potential. Like, you have to pay more for potential now than you used to, and I think we need to make that sacrifice.
Sissoko is a scapegoat, and by all means, he's not going to be the. I understand how he disappoints. I understand how he disappoints, and there are a million times where I expect him to do something and he doesn't do it right. Okay, I get that, and I know I'm going to get like. But there have been big occasions. I thought at the Bernabeu against Real Madrid, I thought he was fucking fantastic. And he provided an outlet that we don't have. And that I don't think Grealish would provide or anyone else that's available. And I get it. It's he puts himself in great positions and then, you know, and I get that. But, I mean, the ironing out of a is a lot. Can be done, and the grooming of a player, and I get it. Sissoko I understand. I know he's not perfect, and I know perhaps $30 million is a bit much.
But today's market, $30 million is not that bad for like $33 million is not that.
Well,
bad
it is for Levy because Levy's working on like 2009 prices. That's the problem.
And that's the problem.
2012. Let's give him a bit of credit there.
Or maybe 2012.
Don't be over 3 years.
No, I mean, I do. Rick is totally right about this, the number of foreign players, homegrown players, etc. Like, that is an issue for sure in terms of squad management. And I actually feel like that's something we've really been neglectful of, to be honest. Because if you look at our squad, compare it with other Premier League squads, similar calibre, why have we got 3 goalkeepers and none of them are homegrown? I mean, that's an open goal. You have your third choice goalkeeper. Why do you think Chelsea signed Rob Green? Why do you think Man United signed Lee Grant? Because that's an easy third-choice goalkeeper, England. So there's, like, squad management issues, you know. Like,
we should have gotten Joe Hart.
Like, no, I did not say that. I was not suggesting that. I feel like there's players in our squad who we could have homegrown equivalents of who would be more useful. Like Llorente, for example. I don't see him contributing anything. I think we could have someone like Rodriguez, for example, name off the top of my head, who would be as good.
Peter Crouch?
Better.
We did dig ourselves into a problem here.
Yeah, I think we did.
With all the foreign players. And Rick has a point, and they've allowed this transfer window to be sacrificed because of that poor decision-making earlier. And that's why I think it's not necessarily this season that we're going to feel the effects of this transfer window, but possibly next.
Well, obviously the situation changes next season because obviously the under 21 players get older and they might start filling up the homegrown slots, so it might not be so much of an issue. I don't know how old some of them are, but as time goes on, it becomes less of an issue if you bring in your young players that are homegrown and they go over 21 and they start going into the first team. Then that becomes less of an issue.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, if Man United had played ball, we would have Martial and lost Toby. That was going to happen. If Man United had played ball and they just went, oh, okay, we'll just swap the two players, perfect, that would have happened. But they didn't want to do it. So what can we do? We tried. Sessegnon, Fulham got promoted. They absolutely said, nope, we're not going
to
sell them.
Yeah, we tried to offer them Danny Rose.
Yeah, we offered them a lot of money and we offered them Danny Rose. They basically turned around and said, no. And Grealish, they just kept pushing up the price. So, you know, it's not like we didn't try.
I don't know. Like, how do we know what we tried, though? Like you said earlier, like, we don't know what's happening. To be honest, a lot of this is guesswork.
Tim Sherwood.
Tim Sherwood. Well, the man in the know, Tim Sherwood.
We do know that Man United wanted Alderweireld, and we do know we wanted Martial. and you can kind of determine by
that. Pochettino came out and said that they didn't bid. Manchester United didn't bid.
Yeah. No, they didn't.
They're probably
sending
out feelers then.
No, they didn't bid, but they did what Man United do. Is
tap up.
They tap up the player.
You tried with Dyer a couple years.
Trying to get the player to actually, you know...
A casual grope.
Yeah. Yes. Trying to get the player unsettled, and then you get the player for a cheaper price. It'll
definitely be unsettling. Yeah.
Well, and they started offering up some of their other defenders.
Or even Smalling
and Jones. Apparently.
I don't rate at all, so...
Well, they're in trouble.
They make too much money for what they do. They're not the quality of what's comparable in the squad.
So my point is, you can't blame Levy just for this situation. If other teams had played ball, we would have had new players.
I think another thing is, and I just kind of yelled it out, to be honest, but... Look, if you look around the rest of the top teams, there wasn't too much movement in general. City made one move. They got Mahrez.
They actually made two. They got a young player from Australia.
They got Arzani, yeah. But he's like a 16-year-old the long-term future.
Man United bought one player.
Right.
Arsenal are rotating their whole squad, so we don't...
But what did they bring? They brought in a bunch of guys from out of the Premier League, so we don't know how they're going to play. And they brought in Lichtsteiner, who's 35 years old. And then you look at Chelsea. Chelsea lucked into Kovacic because Courtois was being a bitch and wanted to move out, and now he's in a gimp suit fucking kissing the badge in Madrid. So, I mean, if you look at it like that, there wasn't much movement out of anybody. I mean, Liverpool. Usually these teams, aside from Liverpool, and you know what, to be
but
honest...
But that's a big aside.
I'm going to say this,
they were the fourth-place team.
I'll die on this fucking hill with Liverpool. They're doing the same fucking thing they did when they let go to Suarez. They brought in about five guys. None of them have played in the Premier League. You're talking about Alisson. Alisson is not going to be fucking used to dealing with the fucking physicality of the Premier League. Now they're two midfielders, never played together, never played in the Premier League. Fabinho regressed at Monaco. Don't be surprised if it's not all fucking sunshine and roses for them.
And the other thing, if they do play those two midfielders, that means Henderson's not playing.
Mm-hmm.
They're captain. Now that's going to cause unrest. Especially if they don't win.
The weird thing about the transfer window, too, and the thing that I really love about Pochettino is it comes off a bit. The whole transfer window is a bit like an Instagram account. Like, everyone puts their flashy photos on. Like, hey, I'm on holiday. Look at my tits. Like, all this stuff. And it's like...
I don't want to look at your tits.
We do see your tits a lot.
But the truth is it's not... And it doesn't, like... what you eat doesn't make me shit. And this is... Pochettino cares about Spurs. I don't give a fuck what they do. I don't give a fuck what they do. They can add him. They can add them. They can add this. I need to prove this. And right now, I'm confident that we have a manager that's like, I do know what I need, but if I can't upgrade, I can't upgrade. And I'm not going to throw money around just to make you feel happy. It's gluttonous, and it's silly.
One other thing I want to point out is how difficult it is for some clubs to make transfers. Look at Man United, the richest club in the world, or almost. You know, after central defender, after central defender, after central defender, all the clubs they tried to buy from said, fuck off. Yep. No.
Yeah.
You know,
Nicodine even used them to get a better contract.
If this was 10 years ago and they had Ferguson, they would have Maguire.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would.
But they told him to fuck off.
Kovacic told him to fuck off. That was the best thing. 60 million. He's like, I don't want to play for you.
It's
year three for Mourinho. It's meltdown season.
Boateng personally calling Mourinho saying, I'm not coming.
Yeah. It's like, and they couldn't get Mina. Yamina.
Yamina went to Everton.
He's gone to Everton.
It's crazy.
Well, Kovacic said he doesn't like the style of play. Which I think is fantastic.
He's right.
He's got a point.
He's honest. Yeah.
Well, just quickly, because I know we're talking a lot here about transfer window, but to me, my overall kind of impression of it is, like, I remember Ferguson at United used to say, you strengthen when you're at your strongest. You're more attractive. If you, like, when they won the treble, he went out and bought a load of players. Like, when you're at your most attractive is the right time to buy. Like someone like, just a random name, Pulisic, for example, is going to be more attracted by us now. We're saying, we finished third, we've got a new stadium, we've got the World Cup winning captain in our team, we've got the Golden Boot winner in our team, we've got loads of things that we can put in our shop window. And I just feel like it's a wasted opportunity. It reminds me a little bit of 2012 when we had the January transfer window.
My God.
When we messed that up, we got bloody Ryan Nelson and Louis Saha when we were third in the league, and then we didn't reinforce the team and we dropped off. And my fear is we're missing a golden opportunity to market ourselves to a big name player that we won't have in a year's time, you know?
Well, I don't think we might even wait a year's time. I think January could be an opportunity where you consolidate. You think about last year when we got Mora, and I know it took a while for him to settle in, and now we're finally going to hopefully see what those fruits bear, to be honest. But I think for Levy's style, it might now be with the change. Ever since the Neymar thing happened and everyone just shot up by 50 million pounds, it seems like. I think January now, it's a tighter window, and players get more pissed off if they're not being included. And that's what got us Lucas Moura. And I could see that being something that we can look at down the road in that time period where someone wants to salvage their season. And that might be more appealing to Daniel Levy right now.
My problem with that, though, Nate, is that the stadium opens now. This was our golden opportunity to market the next generation of Spurs. Like this,
you know what,
this is who we're going to be
it's
moving forward.
Oliver Skip to My Lou and Lucas Famous Amos.
And maybe that's who we are, but I think we missed a golden opportunity considering that we're in, I guess if you can include the League Cup, four competitions that are important, and we don't have the in-depth is the only problem. I'll put our first top 11 against anybody in the league, but our second 11 is kind of mediocre, and that's what we needed. It wasn't the replacement Eriksen. We don't need a replacement for Eriksen. We needed this window to bring in the guy that can play when Eriksen needs a damn rest.
Well, my problem with the window, everybody keeps saying, oh, everybody else strengthening apart from us. Did they? Did Chelsea? No, they replaced the goalkeeper with a goalkeeper that's unproven.
Their midfield's going to be a lot better, but we don't.
They added one player, but
Jorginho as well.
Jorginho's going to be solid.
But going to Joe's point, where you're a strong team and you strengthen with one player. The only team that did that was Man City. Liverpool, we have no idea. Arsenal, we have no idea. Man United, no idea. And the only team that's got a consistent team that's going to play, hopefully, as well as last season, is us.
They tried, though. They tried. That's the thing about when you look at Liverpool.
We tried, too. It's just other teams didn't play ball.
But they brought somebody. They brought people in, and they may have been international players. Sometimes international players work out.
I mean, United brought in Fred, who got hurt in World Cup training and is a complete unknown from Brazil. I mean, he could be brilliant. He could be shit. You don't know what these things are going to happen.
It could be a problem.
I was talking more Liverpool.
Oh, Liverpool?
Yeah.
Same thing. Fabinho was a hot market in Monaco, but ever since they went down, he actually didn't play well that season. Keita is solid. I'll give him that. I like Keita. I think Keita is going to be great for them. But Alisson, we all saw him in the World Cup. Did he light the world on fire in the World Cup?
Nope.
But he's really better than Karius, though. I mean,
well, the fucking world's better
than Karius. Well,
exactly. Brett Friedel is better than Karius.
Right, exactly. That's my point.
World Cup's a different beast. It's an entirely different beast.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have signed Joe Hart and he would have been better than Karius.
Tell me, do we have a question in this category that we should get to?
We kind of answered it in a roundabout way, but patron of the bar of Chicago Spurs, Matt Kelly, he wrote, do you think the lack of signings will hurt this team this year? We kind of answered that. Personally, I'm not okay. I'm okay with not signing any big-name guys. It does stink a little, and we didn't boost our bench up, though. Considering Sun is out for a month, a.k.a. the Asian Games, and our World Cup guys are all being rotated and rested.
Well, in a way, people are might hate me for saying this because I'm trying to be super positive. I got all my moaning out of the way yesterday, and I've been super positive today. Exactly. Fucking carry on.
I don't want to hear about you moaning, Nate.
Hello. But if you look at our busiest time of the year is going to be once the League Cup starts going, and we're doing League Cup, we're doing Premier League, we're doing Champions League group stages. That's probably the biggest, that's probably the most consistently.
It's the biggest toll on my liver.
Right, exactly. So many games ago. You fucking smashed
fall,
it.
I love the fall.
I fucking love it too. You know?
Yeah, I'm a college football fan too, so I'm super stoked. We're totally fine with that. I should have brought it up earlier.
We are not affiliated.
That's why I'm in such a good mood.
Chicago Spurs or any other.
Affiliated with drugs.
We know what's going to happen in the League Cup. We know Amos is going to play. We know Skippy's going to play. Yeah.
What I'm saying. But if you think about last year when we had the League Cup, we didn't have Moura and we didn't have Lamella.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are two faces, hopefully, unless LaMelo's unspecified muscle injury will be a problem. But, I mean, so hopefully not. If he's out for, like, a random time again, that's a shame. But I'm hoping that's not the case. And then you have two different stronger attacking options than we had last year when we struggled and we lost to West Ham or whatever. So I think we're already in a better spot then than we were now.
So we already lost the World Cup, you mean?
Yeah. Hey, the Chicago Fire apparently qualified, or almost did.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up because obviously we need to go to the half. But one question for all of you. We have, like I said before, we've got 20 foreign players. So which three don't play?
Ooh.
Llorente.
The backup striker doesn't, yes. doesn't get selected for the Premiership
Over Janssen.
I would not. If Llorente is in our team, that's disaster. He is a Sunday League player at the moment. Have you seen him in pre-season? He doesn't run. He just walks around. He looks horrendous.
He does look clumsy.
I would not have him in the backup.
So you'd pick Janssen, though, over him?
No, I'd have Son as the backup.
Son's not hitting with us for
He misses three games. But I'd have Lamella as backup. Or I'd have...
Desire Sterling.
I'd have Ali as backup over Llorente all day long. Definitely.
Okay, it's a hot take.
So Llorente is one. Who are the other two?
Nkudu? I think Nkudu can loan.
Carter Vickers is homegrown, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's, five counts because he's under 21 as well, so he's not taking up
and people may or may not know this, but I'll explain again. We talked about this before. Dyer doesn't count as homegrown.
Right.
And neither does Davis.
Yeah. Well, I think then Nkudu has to make the list, unfortunately. He can still be used in the Premier League, which is nice, and he can be used in cup games, and so that's where you have to play them.
I beg the question again, which three don't play?
I think Janssen's going to be definitely out. I think Nkudu's going to be one of the people out. And the third one's hard because I don't know. You're going to hate it, but I don't think there's any way Llorente gets left out.
I think he won't. But if Rick's asking personally, I would not want Llorente. But I accept it.
That's a fucking tough one. Because last year they did the Lamella, but he was hurt, so it was okay.
See, Matt was the problem.
Is Giorgio homegrown?
Yeah, he's under 21.
He's under 21.
I don't know if he is anymore. I think he might be over.
How about we just get rid of Gazzaniga and get a youth keeper?
Exactly.
Why not?
I like Gazzaniga, to be honest. I like him more than Vorm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, and there was that great article that Vorm said about how he wants to be here and he loves it here and he likes training and teaching everybody. Yeah. But if I had to choose between Gazzaniga and Vorm, I would choose Gazzaniga.
These are all very cosmetic questions because it's very easy. But my lips are failing. Sorry, too much rum. But it's the chemistry is just as vital as the ability.
That's true.
We don't know what they're like.
So, I mean, that attitude can carry you a lot farther than someone with more ability and...
Yeah.
We're going to see. We'll see. I trust Pochettino's ability to deal with chemistry. I think he's a master chemist.
That's true.
But you need three goalkeepers. You do, because if one gets injured, who's the backup goalkeeper?
My youth guy.
No, I think Rick's probably right.
Harry Kane.
Well, Gazzaniga did play that game against Palace, didn't he, when Vaughan...
Well, they'll still be...
And he was man of the match,
just
exactly.
Europe? Is this... Premier League
this
too?
This is just Premier League. It doesn't count for Europe. It's a separate squad.
Are you sure?
It's a separate squad for Europe.
Yeah, Europe's a separate thing.
How about this?
And it doesn't count
for... We get rid of one of the goalkeepers, say, fuck it, if Lloris or whoever...
No, but we can't buy anyone now.
No, we can request an emergency loan.
No, you can't.
Why not?
You'd have to have no goalkeepers to get a loan.
Well, then we break the other goalkeeper's leg.
Yeah, shut up.
Tommy, I love your enthusiasm.
That's the answer, Tommy. Yeah. Break the goalkeeper's leg.
Are you sure? Because weren't we in the same situation last year and all
these
guys
were
registered?
Yeah, but Lamella was injured long-term, so he wasn't...
Janssen was on loan.
And Lanson,
right?
I
mean, if you got into that pickle, you could bring up your youth keeper. I mean...
Right, yeah.
You can.
Brandon Austin. Fucking bring
you
him
can,
up
but
there.
Then
Why do I know that name?
But that means if you get two injuries to two goalkeepers, that means your youth goalkeeper is playing in goal against...
I trust him.
Then we score five goals a game.
Against,
no big deal.
Against Man City or Chelsea or Arsenal.
What if he's
whoever.
Like a genius?
Yeah.
But in summation, though, I just want to remind people, though, that, you know, long-term supporting Spurs, there was a summer where we signed Chris Perry and Willem Korsten. And Willem Korsten was out every other match.
Yeah.
And Chris Perry was probably should have been out every single match.
He was like a 5'2" centre back.
Down. I mean, it's
no, it's not it, the it's, end. Of it's days. Okay.
It's next, 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 and I yeah. trust that we're forward thinking and we're less worried about what's going on around us and more focused about what's going on within us. The stadium will look. If you sell off your ticket, fuck off. If you seriously are like, you know, oh, well, we didn't sign anyone, then fuck off. You don't belong at this club anyway. You don't belong supporting this club.
That's just a 16-year-old Twitter tweet, I mean, basically.
You see the Twitter meltdown.
No, you see a lot of them, and they're varying ages. But it's
and it
point.
Is. It's disappointing. It's like, who the fuck do you think you're supporting? Who the fuck? And it's like, but this is what makes me proud to be Spurs, is it's us. This is the people's club. This is the, you know, this is, the we're not going to go out and throw money at it.
Sounds very communistic.
He's so, back from Cuba.
Yeah, it's definitely Che Pochettino.
And I think that's a really good way to wrap it up. I think James hit on it.
He's fucking spot
like,
on.
He bring us back to reality, as disappointed as we can be.
This is still the best we fucking had it.
This is still Spurs. Time. This is what we've always loved. Yeah. And it's not going to set us back to have to deal with a crummy transfer window. And I think that's a good place to leave it. James, I think you're not joining us for the second half.
I have to head out. My kids are arriving soon, and I have to get drunk before they get here.
Well, thank you so much for coming, James. Like, big James. Props. We're going to give you credit guys. In the final closing. But let's go to half with Tommy Summer Transfer History, Catherine's Lady Spurs Update, and Trash Talk. Joe, you're...
My brother, Tom, who's Newcastle. Tom.
Oh, yeah. So we have...
Does anyone in your family actually support Manchester teams?
Nah, why would you? Why would you?
Let's go to half. Thanks, guys.
Love you guys.
It's time for Tommy's Week in Spurs History. Tommy!
Hi, everybody. I'm Tommy, and this is your summer transfer history. This segment is meant to show you, the audience, what transfers look like. On August 31st of 2002, Spurs signed forward Robbie Keane from Leeds United for £7 million. He was eventually sold to Liverpool for a brief stay before being bought back in 2008 by Harry Redknapp. On June 25th of 2003, Spurs signed Helder Postiga from Porto for £6.25 million. This transfer was a bust as Postiga went back to Porto in a swap for Pedro Mendes. On August 3rd of 2005, Spurs signed Edgar Davids from Inter Milan for a free transfer. Edgar Davids' stay was short-lived as he was in the twilight of his career. On May 25th of 2007, Spurs beat Manchester United for the signature of the Southampton defender Gareth Bale for £7 million. He would enjoy 6 seasons with Spurs before being sold for £100 million to Real Madrid. August 31st of 2012, Spurs signed future World Cup winning captain Hugo Lloris from Lyon for £16 million. On August 17th of 2018, Spurs sold Kevin Vimmer to Stoke City for £18 million. One could say this was highway robbery. I'm Tommy, and this is your summer transfer history.
Hi, Spurs family. I'm Catherine, and for those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to introduce myself, I have a once-a-month segment here on 4-Star Spurs, giving you an update on Spurs Ladies, which is Tottenham Hotspur Football Club's women's team. And for those of you who aren't new, I'm back with my Spurs Ladies update. Now, it's been a rather busy summer, not only for the men's squad, which saw the England boys finish fourth at the World Cup, the Belgians finished third, and of course, Captain Hugo Lloris and the rest of the France team winning the 2018 Men's World Cup. But the Spurs supporters here in the U.S. also had a busy summer. With Tottenham traveling to San Diego to play Roma, L.A. to play Barcelona, and Minneapolis to play AC Milan, it's safe to say it was a whirlwind of a summer. That said, if any of you are new podcast listeners, after meeting me in Minneapolis during this summer's tour, we here at 4-Star Spurs welcome you with open arms, and we hope you enjoy. All right, so the men's squad had quite the summer, as I just kind of went over, as did a lot of us supporters, again, as I kind of just went over. But that's not all, because Spurs ladies also had a very busy summer, and I have the rundown for you here. First of all, news on the league that Spurs ladies play in. In May, the FA announced that the women's leagues would restructure slightly. Replacing the FA Women's Super League 1 and the FA Women's Super League 2 are, respectively, the FA Women's Super League and the FA Women's Championship. Tier 1 is the Women's Super League, or WSL, which features the top teams in England such as Manchester City Women, Chelsea Women, and Everton Ladies. Tier 2 is where Spurs Ladies will remain playing in, now named the FA Women's Championship. The FA Women's Championship that Spurs Ladies will play in this season consists of teams such as Aston Villa Ladies, Durham Women, and Millwall Lionesses. The 2018-2019 season kicks off the weekend of August 18th with the opening round of group matches in the Continental Tyres Cup, and in earnest the weekend of September 8th when the FA Women's Championship and the FA WSL hold its first games of the season. Spurs Ladies' 2018-2019 campaign begins by playing the London Bees at home on September 9th. Now, I'm guessing a lot of you have probably moaned a little bit about the men's squad with transfers, or rather, lack thereof. But I have good news. You can keep track of the women's team, which has had a lot of subtractions and additions. Not only did goalkeeper Tony Ann Wayne retire at the end of the 2017-2018 season, but recently there have been quite a few other departures. Katie O'Leary, after 6 years, has left, while Hannah McKenzie, who joined Spurs Ladies this past season, is now with Crystal Palace Ladies. Additionally, Lauren Pickett has also departed. The ever-popular and energetic midfielder Shannon Maloney has left the club after being at Spurs Ladies for 7 years. And one player who has left the club that I do want to highlight for her tremendous work, not only on the pitch but off as well, is Eartha Pond. Eartha was recognized for her work in education, as she was in the top 50 of the Global Teacher Prize, as well as gaining community support focused on the Grenfell Foundation. On the positive side of things, Spurs Ladies have a new central striker, as Rihanna Dean, Millwall Lionesses' top scorer from last season, has signed for the Lilywhites. Millwall's 2017-2018 Player of the Season and Welsh international, Megan Wynn, has also joined Spurs Ladies. Wynn, who is a right-sided player slotting in at wingback or pushing up the pitch a little bit, comes to Spurs Ladies for the second time, the first being when she joined on loan from Watford in 2015. In addition to Rihanna Dean and Megan Wynn, a handful of other players have also joined Spurs Ladies in the past two or so weeks. Centre back Anne Meewald, previously of Chelsea, Arsenal, and London Bees, has joined the club. Emma Gibbon, who has played for the Wales U19 team and for Arsenal, joins Chloe Morgan as the Spurs Ladies' GK Union grows strong with another goalkeeper. Although she's not technically a new signing since she was with Spurs Ladies last season, Coral Jade Haynes has officially signed for the club after her loan last year. Not only has the aforementioned goalkeeper Emma Gibbon played for the Wales U19 team, but another new player, 17-year-old forward Jessica Naz, has joined Spurs Ladies and currently plays for the Lionesses U19 team. And last but certainly not least, two more players, defender Anna Philby and forward Angela Addison, joined Spurs Ladies in late July. All right, so I think that's it for your first Spurs Ladies update of the season. If you ever have any questions about Spurs or Spurs Ladies, shoot them over to me on Twitter to my personal handle, @KatherineRupp, or hit up 4-Star Spurs on Twitter or Facebook. That's all for me this time. Come on, you Spurs, and come on, you Spurs Ladies.
Thanks, Tommy, and thanks, Catherine. And Catherine's our second New York Spur that's on the podcast, so I definitely want to give New York their props this episode. So to roll into the second half, I want to go right to our predictions.
Oh, joy. You know I love predictions.
Yeah, Rick's a big fan of predictions, so we're going to drive him nuts and predict what's going to happen for the season. So I'm going to go through the categories that we're going to discuss. And let's go through each category, and each person makes their predictions. A little bit of banter back and forth, but let's keep it simple. Then we'll preview the next upcoming match. So let's start with the one that probably matters the most, the league. Where does everybody expect Spurs to finish in the league? Keep in mind we're going to do the table later. So we're going to do top six and bottom three later. So just where you think Spurs will finish in the league, starting with Joe.
Third again? Yeah.
I think so as well. I think we finished third.
Yeah, through all the bitching and griping about transfer season, I'm going to say third or fourth.
You're wrong. We're going to finish second.
You know what they say about second place,
right? I love
your
optimism. I love your optimism. I'm trying to be positive.
We have a stable squad. There are so many ifs, buts, and wins with the other teams. The only one that isn't is Man City, and they're going to win the league, and that's a foregone conclusion. And I think we'll be best of the rest.
I'm going to be the pessimist in this group. Like, I saw everybody try to improve. Whether it's an improvement or not, I agree with Rick's assessment in the first half that, yeah, like you can't plan on those guys being good or being able to adjust to the league. But everybody tried except for us, is what I'm at.
Stop saying we didn't try. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Stop saying we didn't. We did try.
They assessed options.
We didn't succeed, but we did try.
Yeah. Okay.
The only thing I will say is I think we might start a little slowly, but gain momentum as the season goes on.
I'm going to make my prediction, and I think it's going to be a slow start. I think the new stadium is going to be an adjustment issue. Like, yeah, we adjusted to Wembley. I think we will eventually. I think we're going to be fighting for fourth. Like, I think fifth is more likely, but I think we're going to be fighting for fourth. I think Liverpool's done enough to move themselves up into third place. And I think fourth we can have, but we're going to have Chelsea and Arsenal biting at our ankles. I don't think we can discount the moves that the other teams have made.
I just want to make one point about the stadium. You're saying we have to adjust. So does every team that comes.
Exactly. And it's going to be louder than Wembley.
And yeah, I honestly don't think they are prepared for what's coming. They really are not.
The retractable pitch?
No, we're talking about the closeness of the fans.
The tight atmosphere, the cop.
You're talking about the single-tier stand.
Yeah.
The energy. The general energy.
The rhythm.
Home. We're talking about the fans that are also disappointed that no move was made.
I don't think it's going to matter. It's going to be a better atmosphere than Wembley. 100%, regardless of the mood people are.
Certainly better than Wembley, but...
You're talking about teams, you're saying that we've never played there, but after three games, we'll play three games. Every team that comes to New White Hart Lane won't have played there.
I still think it could be a setback in the beginning of the season, and we didn't add depth. Even if we add it halfway through the season, those players aren't going to contribute until the end of the season. I think it's a setback for us. And I'm going to pick fourth place by scraping in, just avoiding
Europa. On goal difference?
Yeah, like just avoiding Europa.
Could you imagine? I'd be fucking dead on the floor.
No, I just think we're going to start slow because of the World Cup players not match fit. Some being away, and obviously no transfers coming in to replace players, that may
and we have injuries
required.
Right now, yeah. So we're running a little lean.
Well, let's go on to the next one in here, and I'm going to go League Cup next. So this is the one that we haven't cared much about the last few seasons. What's everybody's prediction? Let's start with Rick this time.
We'll probably get through the first couple of rounds by playing youth players. The moment we come up against a decent team, we're going to play youth players and probably get knocked out. So I don't really give a shit.
Tommy?
Even though I want a trophy, regardless if it's League Cup, I'm going to say quarterfinal. I'm going to say around that time, Pochettino is going to prioritize. And as we all know, League Cup is not a priority. So that's all she wrote.
Nate?
We're going to win it.
Fuck you. You picked my pick.
We're going to fucking win it. We're going to win. That's going to be our trophy this season, guys.
Oh.
It's going to be a trophy, but it's going to be underwhelming, so people will still fucking try to make fun of us. But I'm going to enjoy it. We're going to win it. It's going to be against, like, fucking some middle... I bet it's against, like, Wolves. We beat Wolves, because we always beat Wolves when it matters. So we beat Wolves in a classic Spurs-Wolves title match, and we win it.
Damn you, Nate.
Like the
1951 fucking bet on that.
I was
going to
end with that.
You know my predictions. I predicted Russia over Spain. Guys, put the money in right now. It's 100% stone-cold lock.
would you put
Spurs over Wolves in the League Cup?
You're telling everybody to put their house up or their mortgage
put
up.
Put their house,
that?
Put their child, put everything on it.
You I think that's called slavery.
You stole it from me, Nate. Like, that was everybody was going to make their predictions, and I was going to come in at the end and say we win it.
Well, you know.
Okay.
Wild card.
Well, Joe, where are you at?
Well, I'm not going to say that we're going to win it. It's the League Cup success is like inversely proportional to actually being a good team. Like when we won it last year.
Boom,
yeah, but when we won it, well, that's an exception though. When we won it in 08, we were shit.
Yeah,
when we won
true.
It, when we got to final in 02, we were shit.
In 99, we were shit.
So I'll say we're going to be good in every other area, but not in the League Cup. I agree with Rick. We'll probably win the first game, then play a half-decent Premier League team and put a lot of kids out and narrowly lose and go out in like the whatever that would be, the fourth round or whatever.
I think it's youth the whole way. We don't give a shit about it. And somehow we just scrape into the final. Like maybe like... are there kicks in the League Cup? I don't even know.
Kicks?
Yeah, they have penalty
kicks. But they're kicks.
Do they go to penalty kicks?
I mean,
there's no replays.
We probably scrape into the final on penalty kicks or something like that. And then we actually play a team and win it. Like I think that's what's going to happen. Like we don't care about it, but then
you're going to say we get a lucky draw that kind of gets us to there, and then we do it.
Yeah,
how we got there in 2015, to be honest.
Yeah,
we got every home game, and then Sheffield United in the semifinal.
That's
what we nearly lost to.
Yeah, it's true. Erickson's we got extra saved. Time. That's right.
This is our one trophy. Which is sad to me, but that's
it's not sad. Embrace it. It's the day out. It's going to be fun. If we won that trophy, do you imagine how crazy this place will go?
That's true. It would be
nuts.
A fun day.
Don't act. I mean, remember who we are. So enjoy it if we win something. Even if it is the League Cup. Don't be too high over our standing. We haven't won the League Cup in 10 years. Enjoy it.
Didn't we also win the International Champions Cup, too?
It's not a foregone conclusion. We have to wait till Inter plays Atletico on
Inter
Saturday.
Can still win it.
Well, damn.
It's almost a bit like Arsenal. We made before their FA Cup, their last FA Cup final. All their fans are saying, "Well, we don't care. We don't care. We want to win the league. We don't want to win the league. We don't care about the FA Cup."
And then they did.
And when they won it, they all went nuts.
Yeah. You know, we don't need to be that. We can enjoy it because it's fucking awesome to win a trophy.
This is true. A trophy is nice.
Even the ICC. Not the ICC.
No, that's not a nice trophy, but that's just
I'll
bullshit.
Fucking argue it to the death, though.
Anyway, let's move on to the next category, FA Cup. Where are we at? Let's start with Joe this time.
Yeah, I think we're going to do well in the FA Cup. We've been semi-finalists a couple of times in the last 2 years we've been semi-finalists. I think we're going to go one step further and get to the final. Kind of agree with Rick. I think City are going to just win everything this year. I think they're going to be ruthless. I mean, they only signed one player, but they won the league by, what, like 14 points or something?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I think City will do the double, and they'll beat us in the FA Cup final.
I think we, as we won the League Cup, we actually used this time for... I think if you look at our draws the last couple of FA Cup semifinal runs, they've been marginally easy. And I think we get unluckier this time. I think we draw City earlier, and I think we lose in the fifth round.
So quarterfinals.
After getting drawn away at the Etihad. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but we've won the League Cup by then, and we're just all having a good time.
Tommy?
I'm going to say semifinals, and we falter there like we have recently.
I think we might get to the final, because I think if we get to the semifinal, I think Pochettino would have learned his lesson with the Man United game. Won't pick Vorm in goal. And we'll go with the strongest side possible if we get to the semi-final. And as long as we get good draws, I think we'll be okay and we'll get to the final. If we win it, depends on who we get in the final.
I have us going out in the quarters. I think we're played out from our performance in the League Cup final, as Nate said.
I'm stealing your fucking mind right now.
Yeah, you really pissed me off because I was going for like I'm gonna have the impact.
Do you want to do Champions League first?
Yeah, you should go first.
Okay, I'll go first for Champions League. I have us making the quarters again. Like I think we didn't do enough depth to compete in all these competitions, and as much as I want us to, like I think we didn't need the stars. We just needed guys that we could rotate in and start playing some of these other competitions push us through these other competitions.
You got to remember, the quarterfinals are after the January transfer window.
I know, I understand.
So, you know, if we get,
but
we
it's get not going to make stage. Enough of a difference at that point. They're not going to be climbing into the squad at that point.
Or they'll be cup tied.
Yeah.
No, but what you can do is you can bring in a player that you buy to play him a league game, and you play your stars in the Champions League game. You
see, well, I'd hope we play our stars in the Champions League game regardless.
Regardless of whatever's going on in the league at that point. But yeah, I just don't see us getting out of the quarters as much as I want us to. I want it to be a deep run. But no, it's going to be the quarters. I think we get out of the group quarters.
Well, for a club like us, and I hate to say this, but for a club like us, we're not a mega money club. So getting to the quarters is a really big deal for us. So if we get to the quarter final, I think that'll be a real huge success. You know, getting out of a group for us, you know, we're in pot two, which is advantageous for us.
Yeah.
So hopefully we won't get two big guns. We'll get one. Again, depending on who we get and depending on what our squad looks like, when the games come round. And I think we're in a good situation, better than last season, with the games that precede and follow the Champions League games. I think they're a bit easier than they were.
Yeah,
last
we got
season.
Really bad ones. We had like the Liverpool when we hammered Liverpool 4-1. We just played Real Madrid, if I remember rightly. We seen I think we played Arsenal after we played one of them as well.
We played up to the Liverpool. United, or I mean, Liverpool.
Yeah, we had
Real
United
situation.
Away, I think, in there too. That's
yeah,
right.
Like we had that situation going on there, and I think we played up to that. But then, yeah, the Arsenal one we played down.
But it's always the preceding game. It's the important one, because if you can, if you're playing someone that's not very good, and by that time, I mean near the bottom, you can rest a couple of players for the Champions League game.
Yeah.
So it depends who we're playing. But yeah, quarterfinals should be a good shout for us.
Yeah, and good shout on the schedule being a little bit better than last year, because that was a huge problem the last two seasons.
I'm going to say round of 16, just only because of congestion, whether it be Premier League or FA Cup as well.
Okay, Nate?
Well, you guys know that this is going to be a very difficult time for us, but I think we get out of the FA Cup early, unfortunately. And it allows us, well, not allows us, but by happenstance, we get fucking lucky here. Because let's be honest, we've had fucking rotten luck last year in the Champions League. We had a hard-ass group with Dortmund and Real Madrid. And then we had to draw the Italian champions, who fucking finished second in a group with Bayern Munich, who were semifinals. Not to mention that we beat both Dortmund and Real Madrid to finish first in our group. So we had really rotten luck in the Champions League last year, and we still almost fucking made it to the quarterfinals, which, as Rick said, would be a great, great accomplishment for us. I think the opposite happens this year. I think we get fucking lucky as shit. I think we have a much easier group, but still draw Juventus, but we beat them out to first. And I think we draw a very middling European team for the competition. Maybe the champions of Turkey or some shit like
standard
that.
Standard Liège.
Yeah, or some weird shit like that. And we make it difficult as fuck, like we know we do, always do, but we beat them. And we get to the quarterfinals. And it's Juventus again. But guess what? Vengeance is ours. It's time to revenge. And we make it to the fucking semifinals, and then we lose to Liverpool.
Oh, God. Oh, I would hate that.
I don't want Liverpool.
Why do you have a title?
I'd rather lose to Arsenal.
You dickhead.
You had me until Liverpool, mate.
Nate, what have you just done to me? Like, that was a great feel-good tale, and then it was, like, wrenched at
because
the end.
Because we're Tottenham.
You crammed on my heart, man.
We have it's great feelings, and then they end in fucking horrifying anguish and despair. That's what makes us more men. It's because we have to deal with disappointment more often.
Losing to Liverpool.
Bill's character.
Or just makes us more depressed.
Yeah, well, if you don't have a self-deprecating humor supporting Tottenham, then go support Preston North End or whatever.
Like you said the other day. What do you think, Joe?
I'm with Anthony here. I think that our squad lack of depth will be an issue, kind of like Rick was saying, not so much in the Champions League, but in the Premiership games surrounding those matches. And I think, kind of like it did this year, it might just catch up with us. I'm going to say quarterfinals, which again is a good return, a respectable effort. I just don't think we have the squad depth to go beyond that at this point.
Okay, so this next one doesn't have to involve Tottenham. I'm asking for everybody for one strange prediction that they expect to happen in the league this year. Last year, Tommy was almost got it. Like you, well, you predicted.
No, you got it.
I was half right. I predicted they would get six.
Burnley.
But predicted they would get Europe.
So you predicted
ballsy and awesome prediction as you'll ever hear.
Yeah, you predicted Burnley to get Europe, and they got Europe. And yeah, you were off on some of the actual technical details, but that's the type of thing we're looking for here. I'll go first again since I got mine ready, and so nobody can steal it. I don't think anybody's going to steal it anyway. This is really off the cuff. I think Wolves are going to finish eighth or above. Like I
and
really
that's not
do.
A bad prediction to be honest.
They've got a lot. Portuguese got Matinho.
Matinho,
they got
a team coming Pepe, up that though, piece of like, shit. Be in the top
Wolves,
half of the table.
Wolves are the most non-coming up team that's ever come up, to be honest. If you think about them, they've been funded with this weird Raiola connection. They've had this huge Portuguese influence. Yeah. And they've gone and they've bought solid in the transfer window.
Yeah, but they're going to be in financial fair play trouble. They were before they started.
Yeah, there was a vote on it. But I think Matinho's... He's okay. He's not where he was when we were looking at him. Let's be honest.
Well, he's 33.
Right, exactly. But I like their Traore move. I think he actually looks solid in the transfer window. He's going to be a completely different player than Middlesbrough. I think that's a really sexy pick there, Anthony. I like
okay.
it.
So, eighth or above for Wolves. What do you have, Rick?
I'm going to make two predictions. And I like both of them. West Ham.
We'll give you half credit if you get it right.
Okay, West Ham are going to get relegated. I just think... Buying so many players, their team is just going to be a complete mess. They could go in for a complete free-for-all. They bought mercenaries.
Even with Pellegrini?
I think he might go.
Damn, son.
I just think they're just a bit of a mess. And the moment they go sour, their fans are going to be on their back.
They're in a real... I think that's a really good point that you don't think about with West Ham. Because they did this last year where they bought a ton of names and they got excited. They got Arnautovic, they got Chicharito in, Joe Hart was okay, but they got Zabaleta, they were excited, and they fell flat on their fucking face, and they needed Moyes to kind of save them.
Because
kind of done the same thing, but more continental, and they expect that to be a difference, and it's not always.
And because of their fan base, because of the way their fans are with their stadium and everything else, they're on a cliff edge. They're always on a cliff edge. And you think... As soon as it goes bad, they're going to fall off that cliff. And
this might push them over.
But yeah, I think if they go for a bad run, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse.
So for your half credit, your second pick?
My second prediction, Mourinho is going to get either sacked or he's going to leave before Christmas.
That's exactly what I had as well.
Oh, okay. So let's let Joe go into that, because if that's your pick.
No, I... Like, literally put exactly the same thing. I mean, the warning signs have been in pre-season. You see the comments Mourinho's making, I don't know why the fans are bothering to watch this game, and then he's slagging off all the young players, saying they're not up to it. I mean, this is what he does in his third season. It was the same at Chelsea when he picked the argument with the female doctor there. I actually think he's trying to get sacked. Yeah, I think he's trying to provoke... Yeah, I think he's trying to provoke the owners... if you look at what Mourinho does, he buys players who are at their very peak. They're like 28, 29. He doesn't see it like Pochettino does as a long-term thing of buying a 21-year-old who's going to increase in value. He doesn't think about that. He's like, now, now, now. I want this player now. My other prediction, because I did have a backup one, is Arsenal to finish outside the top 10.
Ooh,
fuck.
They are in a very big period of adjustment.
I feel your pain, Tony.
Yeah, that's...
I have to come up with something different.
And I'm
also
not just saying.
Well,
I'm not just saying that as a crowd pleasing thing. I genuinely think that's going to be a big transition for them. I really don't think they're any good. I think Aubameyang's a really good striker, but other than that, there's no one in that team that I like. Like Monreal's a decent fullback.
He's 33 now.
I don't see any other quality honest.
This is the thing. You know, people were complaining about Spurs' transfer window. They got two of their best defenders injured. and they didn't buy anybody.
And Koscielny's like 36.
Koscielny's done. I don't think he'll come back until Christmas.
And the Greek one, who I can't pronounce his name,
Socrates.
From Dortmund.
Is he injured?
No, Papadopoulos.
Yeah, Socrates Papadopoulos.
Oh, that guy. Yeah,
no, Kolasinac. He
was their backup anyway. Yeah. But here's the thing: they bought Socrates. Socrates used to be a big name for Dortmund. He was the guy that Kane bullied constantly at Dortmund and just destroyed him in both games. So. Not worried about him, to be honest. They still have Mustafi. They have a lot of adjustment to do. I think you're spot on with that. I think they could be in. I think a lot of people are excited because it's a change. I don't think any of them see. I think anyone see any changes on an automatic improvement from Wenger when that's not necessarily the case.
Well, and if you ask the average Arsenal fan saying having Mustafi as a centre back is a bad idea.
That's still them. They've got Socrates and Mustafi. I'm fine going against that back pairing. I am totally fine.
Yeah. Some might say the Wenger bus is leaving.
I think it's gone, man.
I will
miss
that song, though. Yeah. I didn't
enjoy it. Well, you know, Cajal doesn't let us do pedophile Wenger chants anymore, so it's disappointing.
I still do it.
Well, yeah, we do. We do one or two on derby days, but regardless, I agree with you. And the Mourinho thing is, I think, well, you know, I'm not going to say that because you guys, everyone's kind of said the same thing. So one of the things I want to say is, I think Fulham have a wonderful season.
Yeah,
I think agree. Fulham finish in the top eight.
Yeah,
I think they.
Fuck you!
That was Tommy's. We're all taking each of us. I mean,
you motherfucker!
Wait, let's have a little gentleman's bet. If the Wolves finish in the top eight,
I will do $20 with you on that.
Okay, $20
that Fulham finish above Wolves.
And if neither of them do, then we.
Well, that's impossible. But whatever.
It's a draw.
One of them is going to finish above the other.
Exactly the same goal scored.
unless it's some sort of ridiculous nonsense, but. I think they bought really well. They lost Fredericks to West Ham, which was a bit difficult, but they've replaced very well. They kept Sessegnon. They signed Mitrovic again, who's been fantastic. They got a veteran there, and they upgraded their defense pairing fantastic. Chambers and Mawson both played for England in the under-21s, so they know each other. And that's a pairing, so they don't have to deal with Tim Ream, who was solid for the championship. But any American will tell you, if you're banking on Tim Ream for your defense, you're going to be fucked in the ass. So I am very high on Fulham right now.
I'm going to make one other prediction.
We're going to split it three ways now, so you only get a third of credit now if you get it right.
Because of Liverpool, and I hate Liverpool so much now because they're just assholes, I think Salah's going to crash and burn. I don't think he's going to do anywhere near as good as he did last year.
I actually agree with you. I don't think it's going to be too big of a drop-off. He had a really shitty offseason. He took pictures with a terrorist, then fucking flamed out of the World Cup, and then retired from the Egyptian national
team. Did he retire? I know he threatened to.
I'm pretty sure he
did.
Maybe not. But whatever it was, it wasn't nice. But seriously, I mean, he was on a ridiculous tear. I know this is kind of redundant, as we all saw everyone say the same thing about Harry Kane, and he went on to repeat those numbers year after year. But I think with Salah, he's a winger. It's a bit different. I still think Liverpool's going to have a solid season because they've got talent everywhere. But I agree with you. I think Salah ends up with maybe – I don't think he gets 20 goals.
He basically had a Vardy purple patch season. That's what he did. And I don't think he's going to repeat it.
Well, we're getting a little bogged down here, so let's get Tommy's strange prediction, because he was the one who won it last year.
Well, since Nate had to steal my thunder, motherfucker.
Well, you know, people did it to me first.
I stole his
first. You stole it from Anthony, but regardless, I had to adjust my prediction, so I will say Newcastle gets in Europe.
Wow.
Whoa, I thought you were going to say relegated, and I would have...
Hey, remember this. You laughed at me last year when I said Burnley would qualify.
I did not.
No, you did.
I did?
Yes.
It's probably recorded.
Because you're a dick.
I like Burnley, though.
Yeah, I know. And when I say qualify by Europe, it's either League Cup, FA Cup, or because...
So Newcastle win the FA Cup?
Yeah, who knows? You never know.
Newcastle haven't won a trophy for 50-something
Intertoto Cup, come on.
Yeah, it doesn't give a...
I know.
I really like it.
Well, I had to think of something outside of the box. And, of course, well, this isn't out extraordinary, but I'll say, of course, Huddersfield gets relegated because, you know, fuck them.
Well, let's move in. Before we do our top, and we're going to do top six, not top four. We're going to do top six. Let's do the relegation first because I think that has less impact. So let's let's have everybody's pick for relegation. And let's start with Tommy since he has Huddersfield already picked.
Okay. I'm going to say Huddersfield. Ooh. I'm going to go with... I'm just looking at the table right now. I'm going to say Bournemouth and go with Cardiff, I guess.
Yep, same as me. I'll save you coming to me. That's what I put as well.
Okay, cool. So Joe's got the same.
Yes, I stole Joe's thunder.
Fair enough. West Ham, Newcastle, and Huddersfield. The last one was for you, Tommy.
Thank you.
Before Nate goes, I'm going to potentially steal his thunder. I don't think I will, though. I think I have completely off the map. I'm going to put Cardiff down, back down. I'm going to put Leicester down. I think the Moraes loss.
It's a bold choice there.
As much as they just brought Vardy back.
You know, they
were
big on Claude Puel leaving, and he didn't.
Yeah.
And now they've kind of invested in him. And if the shit goes south and he has to leave early, that could be a huge tumultuous time. So not that bad.
So I put Leicester. So Cardiff, Leicester, and then I thought Brighton and Hove had their moment, and I think
Hate on Chris Hughton like that, man.
I like Brighton and Hove, but this isn't a personal thing. Like
They bought the best player out of Iran.
I looked at the table and gave my thoughts, like tried to be emotion-free. And free of, like, not just like, oh, this player's good, they're going to keep him up. I just tried to make an actual prediction that I thought this could go south, and I put Brighton and Hove there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nate.
Yeah, I have Cardiff as well. I don't think they've done enough. And I have Huddersfield for the same reason. My final pick is kind of a toss-up. I mean, it's going to be really hard down there, but honestly, I see it coming down to, fuck, I don't even know. Jesus, I think Watford. I think the tumultuous changes that they've consistently done finally catches up with him. I like Bournemouth's midfield a lot. I love the Jefferson Lerma by having him and Lewis Cook there. It's a fantastic midfield. Yeah. So I think they're going to be okay. Watford, too much changes over too much time. It's unsustainable. I think they go down.
Oh, okay. Well, Watford wasn't even somebody I put on the map, and that's a good thought there that this could be the year that they kind of collapse. So let's go to the last one. So this is top six that you're giving. We do top six and then we'll do a quick preview of Newcastle. So let's start with Rick.
Oh, are we doing top six in order?
In order.
Okay. Man City, Spurs, Liverpool. Man City, Spurs, Liverpool, I think that's probably dead on whatever combination it's going to be. And then it's a toss up between Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal, and one other surprise. I think Arsenal might drop out. I think they might drop out, and somebody like, I don't want to say Everton because I don't think they bought well. They don't score. Somebody give me some ideas.
Fulham,
Wolves,
Leicester, maybe
Burnley,
Southampton. I'm just throwing random teams out there. I think Everton. Spoiler alert for my prediction. Everton are going to break into the top six.
I agree, actually.
Let's say Wolves. Wolves will finish sixth. So I'll put Chelsea above Man United. So Chelsea fourth, Man United fifth, and Wolves sixth.
Okay.
Let's. It sounds like Joe kind of already started to spill, so let's go with Joe next.
Yeah, I think Everton sixth, Chelsea fifth, Man U fourth, Spurs third, Liverpool second. It'll be the first time they finish above us the second time in like 10 years, but I think they actually will do it just because they've strengthened in a I know Rick doesn't agree and he's shaking his head vehemently, but I think having a much better goalkeeper will be a factor if you think how many points Karius cost them.
I just want to make the point that Salah scored so many goals last season,
yeah,
and they still didn't come above us.
I know, I hate myself for saying this, and I actually, but I don't know, whatever, that's what I've gone with. So Liverpool second, and you know, City are going to win it by a similar crazy amount, 12 points plus.
I'm fucking changing mine. Okay. I'm sorry, I've already changed my mind. I'm not seeing Liverpool finish above us.
Yeah, fuck You've Liverpool. Convinced me. I'm with you, Rick. Second for Spurs.
Second for Tottenham. I can't fucking do it.
Neither can
I. I'm sorry.
I feel so
in the semi-finals. They're not finishing above
us. When I was arguing
league.
With Rick that Liverpool are going to finish above us, I felt so dirty. I have to
And it's what you said about Salah that finished me. I don't think he could keep it up. And I don't think – I think there's a lot of – it's not an adjustment period, but they just never get into the gear they really gotten at the second half of the season last year when they were just firing on all cylinders. That was – That was genius. That was incredible. That doesn't come around consistently.
And they won't get the 6 points they got off Man City like they did last season. They're not going to do that.
I think we do finish second. I think City wins it. I think we finish second. I think Liverpool's right there with us. It's back and forth. And our rivalry with them just grows even fucking further when we despise each other constantly. But I do think we finish above them. I think after that, you're looking at fourth. I think Chelsea's done enough in their midfield to improve. They have not touched their defense, which is why I think they're fourth and not higher. Because you're relying on David Luiz, you're relying on
Azpilicueta, Alonso,
Marcus fucking killing person Alonso,
Cahill.
And Gary Cahill, and a new system for them. Like, sorry, it's been Napoli had a long time to adjust, had a problem adjusting to his style, and it cost them early in a season, and then they went on a tear. But the Premier League's less forgiving than Serie A. And I think that comes back to bite him this season. I think they finish very strong, but they struggle early. Then fifth place, Everton. I'm a huge fan of Marco Silva. I think he got a fucking raw deal with Watford because they're horrible to their managers. And I think he's going to have a much better – you've already seen how they've invested in him. I think they're able to play Sigurdsson consistently in that middle position where he had to fight with Rooney for it last year. And I think their signings have actually been really nice.
I agree. Bernard and Gomez are very good for
Lucas Digne has been solid. Mina, I'm a big fan.
But who's going to score for him? That's the problem.
I think Tosin's okay, and I think they'll be fine. They'll be fine enough to be able to deal with it. And that's – well, who's going to score is why they don't go higher. Yeah. I think they're a really solid squad.
I do, yeah.
So I'm good putting fit, and I think United capitulate early. I think Mourinho's gone or leaves in the middle of the season, and then they kind of fight back later. But that gets them only to sixth.
Oh.
Okay, Tommy.
Beyond my better judgment, I would have predicted Chelsea to win just because of the recurring theme. For the past two times, every time they had a new manager, they won the title that year. But they haven't reloaded, and how you said, Nate, I don't think they're going to defense. I'm like, and an unproven goalkeeper right now in the Premier League.
80 million.
I'm like, I don't think it's going to happen. But my predictions are Man City. I don't know. I'll go with Man United. I do believe if Mourinho does fuck it up and he leaves, they are going to go on a tear, but they're going to make up for it like no other because they do have a lot of talent there, whether you like it or not. I'll go with Spurs next in third, and then go with Chelsea, then Liverpool and Everton.
None of us have Arsenal in the top six. Okay, except for Tony.
I think I do put him there. let me go with mine. And you already know that I put Tottenham fourth, and I do think it's not necessarily a quality of our squad issue. I think it's a depth of our squad. Like, we play in the Champions League, our best squad, and then the rotation squad just can't pull it off for some of those key games. Like, we lose Burnley on the road. We lose some of those games that we're either drawing or winning on the road. I don't get enough points at the end of the season.
I just want to point out that we got second last year with the same squad, and in theory, the squad is stronger now.
Third
last year, and in theory, the squad is stronger.
But still, I think it's a depth issue. It's another year. Like you have to improve each year. I think you don't need to reload a lot. I'm not saying that we need to bring in 10 people or we need to bring in 5 people. But I think one or two key players in the right place to add that depth, knowing the sun's going to be unavailable. So I'm going to stick with my fourth prediction. I'm going to go City. I think City's going to remain unbeatable, unfortunately. I don't think United's going to have the same collapse. I think United's going to come in second. I think they just keep their strength. It's like Manchester's up there. I think Liverpool finds a way to creep into third place, and we barely scrape into Chelsea. We're going to be fighting with Chelsea for fourth, and we barely scrape in above Chelsea.
Fifth, Arsenal sixth.
And Arsenal sixth, yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
You're probably the most realistic out of all of us. We're all homers as shit, so that's why we've decided to throw Arsenal to the fucking wolves. I mean, they've got a couple of solid talent. I just think there's too many question marks, and I think they fall for it. I think
I hope you're right. There's still bad vibes around that club with the Kroenke news. I think.
That's a disaster on the horizon.
I think
like they're expecting this to be a safe. They expect the Wenger change to be the fucking be all end all solve of their problems, and it's just not. It's more than him. It's his lack of investment and Kroenke's lack of investment in that squad.
Well, going back to my point about West Ham, I think Arsenal are the same situation. They're on the edge of the cliff, and if it goes sour, it goes sour really bad. Because then half their fan base will be going, we shouldn't have got rid of Wenger. And half of them will be going, yeah, but we've got to give it time.
Could you see that being us in a way too, though?
No.
Not to the extent.
I think we'll have that problem at the beginning of a season. When, if God forbid we lose against Newcastle, we've got Liverpool and Man United very, very quickly.
And Fulham's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, we've got players returning from the World Cup that are not
match day fit.
So we could have a rough beginning. But I think, overall, I think we're going to gain momentum.
Let me just say, I don't feel good about this prediction. I'm just, it's
that's okay.
It's in your gut.
It's in my gut, and I hate to say it. And maybe it's the transfer window left me feeling that like horrible gut wrenching feeling. But that's where I'm at, and I'm hoping you guys are right and I'm wrong. So let's move along. Let's take a bit of a second break. Joe, your brother gave us the trash talk segment. So. I listened to it. He sounds a lot like you.
Yeah, it's not just me pretending to be someone and calling it my brother, honestly.
I hope not, because he seems to love Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So
let's listen to this, and then we'll discuss based off of what he said and give our feedback predictions for the Newcastle game.
Hello. I'm Tom, I'm a Newcastle United fan, and this is Trash Talk. I've been a Newcastle fan since I was around 7 years old, so that's around 1991-1992. Many of my earliest memories of sporting the Magpies involved a fierce household rivalry between Joe and I during the early years of the Premier League. Our parents would desperately be hoping for a draw whenever the two sides met. The start of the new season is fast approaching, and Newcastle will again be hosting Spurs on the opening weekend. You could be forgiven for thinking that the owners of both clubs are completely unaware of this, with Newcastle making 5 fairly modest signings, and Spurs yet to do any business at all at the time of recording. It's difficult to say whose owner is the biggest tight ass. In the general financial sense, I'd imagine it's probably Levy. However, when it comes down purely to the football side of things, I think you'd struggle to find a tighter owner in world football than Mike Ashley. Newcastle have been a net profit on transfers since Rafael Benitez took over in 2016. And despite making around another £30 million this summer, Newcastle's marquee signing is a striker on loan from the Championship, and the club's record signing is still Michael Owen, who arrived in 2005 for £16 million. Benitez is making the best out of a terrible situation, but it's hard to imagine he'll put up with this shit show for much longer, and when it does hit the fan, I can't see any managers anywhere near Benitez's calibre wanting to come in and clean the place up. If Benitez can tolerate another season, I think Newcastle will have just enough about them to survive. Moving on to the match specifically, despite the troubled atmosphere around St James's Park at the moment, you could say that it's actually quite a good time for Newcastle to be facing Spurs. A lot of Tottenham's biggest players have only just returned to training. However, I doubt there's a side as ill-equipped to capitalise that as Newcastle in the league right now. Newcastle barely registered a shot on target across their last 3 friendly fixtures, and we'll have to hope that Salomon Rondon can hit the ground running and forge a decent partnership with Jonjo Shelvey, who's probably Newcastle's most important attacking player despite playing deep in central midfield. This is all fairly doom and gloom at the moment, so I'll address one of the questions I've had put to me by your esteemed panel. Who is my favourite player to have played for both Spurs and Newcastle? The first thing that struck me when thinking about this question was the quality of players that have featured for both sides. Chris Waddle, Paul Gascoigne, Jermaine Genus and David Ginola would have formed an outstanding four-man midfield. I know Joe despises Genus, but I actually think he was pretty good for both sides, and someone would have to do the dirty work for the other three. Kevin Scott and Jonathan Woodgate could have formed a yin and yang centre-half pairing for the ages, and as long as Kevin Scott was under strict instructions not to tackle or aerially challenge anybody in the penalty area and risk a trademark penalty concession, they may have become a formidable duo. Spearheading the attack, though, would be my favourite player to represent both sides, none other than Britain's best-dressed man 1995, Les Ferdinand. Sir Les, with his head carved out of marble by the football gods, almost powered Newcastle to league glory in 1996, with his devastating aerial prowess, speed, power and finishing ability, before Manchester United struck back in the closing stages of the season to ruin this correspondent's childhood completely. Les's move to Spurs in 1997 wasn't quite as fruitful as injuries began to take their toll. Back to reality in the now, and it's fair to say that there's a bit of cloud hanging over both clubs going into the new season, and a feeling amongst both sets of fans that their club's potential isn't quite being reached. Benitez is very good at drawing sides into a war of attrition, with the three midfielders, likely to be Richie, Perez and the talented Kennedy, working very hard to protect the two central midfielders and fullbacks. It usually works well from a defensive point of view, but transitioning from there into attack is often clunky to say the least. Bearing all of this in mind, I expect a cagey encounter that will probably be settled by a single goal. Maybe Newcastle will scramble a goal from a set piece and hold out resolutely at the back. At least that's what I'm hoping for anyway. If Eriksen is fully fit and Spurs can get him into the match, I fear he will make the difference and provide the spark of quality that will undo Newcastle. So it's with regret that I predict a 1-0 victory for Spurs. Thank you so much for inviting me onto the show. I've been Tom, and I've been talking trash for Trash Talk.
So what do you guys think? Like we heard some good insight here from that segment. Like, where are you guys at on what we were given?
I think Tom's kind of up to something, because he said the same thing I think about playing Newcastle, when he said that kind of that he's kind of it's it, that Tottenham's the kind of team that he wants to play. I think we're in the same boat. I think Newcastle's the exact team we want to play right now. They've kind of had a kind of misstepping transfer window. Their players went on strike with the media because they weren't getting their bonuses. Rafa Benitez has been very outspoken about. James is leaving, so we're saying goodbye.
Yeah, we're all saying goodbye to James.
I'm just trying to signal you. I'm trying to take a picture of you all because of my kids.
Bye, James. Fuck off.
Take care, James.
You guys take care.
But I think it's... I think Newcastle's the perfect team for us right now, honestly. I don't want that to sound high and mighty, but they've had their own problems, and we're still in a better spot than they are, and I think we'll be fine.
I totally agree, because the last thing you want is to play a away game against a newly promoted side. That's always horrible.
Imagine going to Wolves away.
Everton
have got to go
Everton
there.
Everton-Wolves game's going to be insane.
Yeah. You know, newly promoted side always start crazy in the first couple of games. You know, they go all mad. They're in the Premiership, excited, and everything else. They then tend to tail off. But Newcastle, yeah, you're right. They're in a bit of strife. They're a bit like Everton. They're a bit like Huddersfield and West Ham. Who the hell is going to score for them? You know,
yeah.
Against
Kennedy and that Japanese guy.
And against our defence, which has not changed, and potentially has got better because we've got more options. Who knows? I can't see them scoring against us.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Rick. And like Tom mentioned it on his preview section there, that Rondon, you know, they're pinning their hopes on a championship loanee as their striker. I do think Kennedy is a very good player. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go into this too much because I know Rick and I will disagree and it might go a bit too much. But I actually do rate Shelvey. I think he's played well.
He's great. I agree.
He's played well against
us. He'll get sent off.
And what concerns me a little bit, to be honest, about this game is the central midfield situation for us. Who's going to play there? I don't even know what formation we're going to play, but in terms of central midfield, I think Shelvey, he might be a key player, just because I don't know, is Dembele going to play there unfit? Is Dier going to be fit? Is Amos going to play, who's completely inexperienced? We don't know. Is Eriksen going to play out of position? So that's what concerns me a little bit, but we should have enough to beat them like we did opening game last season.
All we'll do is man Mark Shelvey and he'll get frustrated and get sent off.
That's the
Well, that's what happened last time, yes, wasn't it? Dele Alli got him sent off.
Oh, he was great, wasn't he? He scored a goal too.
What do you think, Tommy? What do you think about the game?
I don't know. Just with the rate of attrition that we have right now, whether it be Wanyama, Lamella, I don't even know who else. That's you.
Well,
first-teamer and fringe.
Dyer's going to play. He didn't, okay. he didn't have that much of a tribulation at the World Cup. Okay. He didn't play that much.
So Dyer is always that type of guy that just gives, like, gets unlimited minutes anyway. Like,
yeah, well,
he rarely gets a break.
He's clearly the workhorse of this squad.
Yeah.
So I would say right now, I mean, it's probably going to be a 4-2-3-1. The back four is pretty obvious, you know.
If we play a back four.
If we play
a back
four.
I don't know if we're going to play a back three, though.
Who knows what we're going to do?
Exactly. There's no... This
like, is Toby going to be... Well, we'll talk about that
later.
That's
a different conversation, but you're right. There's so many unknowns, so it's kind of hard to predict the specifics.
There's no way we do a back three. I just don't think...
There's definitely a chance.
Without these guys practicing in a back three, which we haven't seen. Three.
Actually, we should talk about this now, because we have a question about Toby and Rose, don't we?
Yes, we do. This is coming from our friend of the podcast, Kyle Newman.
From
Memphis. Okay, I actually just... I closed that tab on accident.
He's over in Memphis Spurs now, but he's a real mensch.
Yes. Okay, sorry.
That means a good guy and Jewish. If you didn't know,
now we know. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry everybody, please bear with me. Be another 10 seconds because this Wi-Fi is hot garbage.
why the weird accent?
Oh, it's supposed to be a Chicago accent.
It was a Boston accent.
Oh yeah, whatever.
Got a middle
okay,
of
got it.
Of the road.
Okay, so Kyle Newman says, if, as we know now, it's confirmed, Toby and maybe Rose stay with us this season. Do you think the mentality / mindset is worrisome since they seemed certain to leave, presumably in the near future, because Toby with the contract and Danny Rose with the rumor going to Schalke? Or is this whole theory hogwash and can Poch easily get them in sync with the squad?
I don't know that it's confirmed that they're staying with the team.
Exactly.
Like, there's the international window is still open. And granted, there wasn't any rumors prior to this with Toby, but I think that was probably what Levy was holding out for.
Could put a $50 million bid in tomorrow.
He knows that their window's coming up, and he can still move these guys later. I think Rose could still go. Maybe it is Schalke or somebody else. I think Toby could go to Barcelona. He could go to Madrid. He could go to some random German side that we're not even thinking of.
Rose is not going to go anywhere, and I'll explain why. Because he's one of the homegrown players, and we can't move a homegrown player.
The club's trying to sell him, actively trying to sell him.
Yeah, because they thought they could get someone else in, but now, because we can't, there is no way. Toby, I don't think so either, because again, you can't replace him. So I don't see this. The only caveat to that would be, again, it goes back to the 24 on players, and we can only play 17. So three of them have to go. You know, either on loan, well, they're going to have to go out on loan, or they can be sold. But which three? And I don't think Toby's going to be one of those three, and I don't think Rose will be either.
I think to our detriment, it still happens. I think Danny does go. I think he ends up being the one guy that leaves. I think Toby ends up staying, and he does contribute to the team. But the thing, whatever the thing with Rose is, it's deep, it's very mental, and it's a problem. And it's the way he talks in the media about it. He's very open about it. I don't think it's because he like hates Tottenham or something, but whatever it is with his mental health, I think it's important that we let him go. And I think we do. I think we loan him out to Schalke.
But if we do that, then we have the...
Yeah, no, I think I think it's to our own detriment that it happens, but I think it does end up happening.
We might end up having a 24-man squad for the Premiership because...
If we do, we do. I mean, it's a shit situation. I still think Janssen's going to get a loan somewhere, so he'll be off the books too. Who's to say what else happens? But I do think that Rose will be gone.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with Toby. If Toby went, whether it be Barcelona or... somewhere else. We have Dyer as a backup, but Wanyama's injured. So who's going to play D-mid if we play a back three? And like I said, this is hypothetical. Aside from Dyer, we have two other center backs. Juan Foyth, Cameron Carter-Vickers that we know of right now. Can we entrust them to be backups as of now and go in for emergencies? From what I've seen and I know, Joe, I know you watch more of the summer matches compared to me, but I don't know if I don't. Well, as of right now, I don't think Poch has the confidence in placing either of those two in a Premier League situation or Champions League or deep FA Cup run.
I think Foyth has a better chance. I mean, like, we've saw, seen
no,
that
from
him. No,
he's looked good.
But Foyth's had no preseason. He's, yeah, like, in the same boat as Winks, that he would potentially be a fringe player, but he's not played. Yeah. So,
and well, my other question regarding, and this is for Danny Rose, is the backup for Ben Davis right now would, in theory, be Kyle Walker-Peters.
Exactly.
But would he be entrusted in the backup role to platoon, or has Ben, or if Danny Rose is sold for, or on loan for argument's sake, is Ben Davis just going to play 40-50 games a season?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's more the problem that you hit on there. Like, if we had brought in Sessegnon or somebody else,
right,
then Danny Rose is out easy. But
I just because we
don't have anybody who really is natural to that side.
Exactly.
Walker Peters is not good on that side. I think he's great on his own side. He's okay on his own side.
In theory, Vertonghen can play left back as well. But this also leaves the gaping hole of Toby.
No.
Shut up for a minute. This also leads to if Toby's leaving. So, I mean, like, there is a lot of moving parts with the depth.
I think we're actually missing the point of the question. The question was, do we buy, keep them or sell them? That wasn't the question.
I know.
The question was, can we integrate them? And I think we can. As long as they don't get sold, obviously. I think Poch will play them. He'll rotate them in like he rotates the full-backs, and he'll rotate the centre-backs. And I don't think he'll be an issue at all.
See, I'd like to agree with that, Rick. And if you, like, you talk about Rose and Alderweireld, you think how good they were 2 years ago. If we could have the 2016 version of both of those players now, they'd be huge assets, without doubt. But if you have the last season's version of both players, they're not. They didn't contribute anything. Like, Alderweireld
both
played,
injured.
Alderweireld wasn't injured the whole season. He was injured for like 3 months, which is a chunk of a season. He only played 14 games. Poch wasn't picking him. When we played Man United in the FA Cup semi-final, would he have got in our strongest 11? Yes. Did he play? No. Same for the Chelsea game. Same for the Juventus game. Poch wasn't picking him.
Because he did the Kyle Walker thing and we were having the transfer.
So the question is,
but
we have no idea if it's still going to be that
exactly,
way or not.
It's not
but
been resolved, though. He's not signed an extension on his contract.
That doesn't matter, because we know he's going to go. If he doesn't sign an extension now, we know he's going to go at the end of next season.
But Poch doesn't play players historically.
Could I ask you both a question real quick? And I think this will answer the question. Joe, do you think Toby Alderweireld's in our starting 11 against Newcastle?
I don't think he is, no.
Rick, do you think he's in our starting 11 against Newcastle?
It really depends on the formation. If we play a back three, then yes. If we play a back four, then
did
no.
We practice a black back three? I just don't see it.
Yeah, we did. We even had Aurier in it. Which was kind of interesting.
We did play around with formations.
We did a fuckload of weird shit in those games.
Play around with like Alderweireld doing that.
No, he was in the World Cup, so we don't exactly.
That's the
question. That's why I don't see us doing it.
I think there's a lot. I mean, that's and we have no fucking clue.
Yeah, we don't
what
know what
is going to be the situation with both of them.
Yeah.
When we come in, and we're going to know a deep, you know what? And honestly, we won't even know after first game because I think Davies is still ahead of Danny Rose, but he's still going to play a lot. Toby's the main one. Toby, you could see not in at all, or you could see him being a mainstay, depending on what happens. And it's going to be very interesting to see.
I honestly think probably we'll play a back four, because they're going to play one up front and crowd the midfield.
Mm.
So we'll probably play a back four. We play a back three, usually when teams play two up top and they're a bit better. That's when we usually
I think we play a back three when we had confidence in all our center backs back there, to be honest. That's a go-to formation if everybody's at their best.
Well, Son's usually the key to that. If Son is playing, then
not really. I mean, he wasn't playing when we were doing it with Dele and Eriksen and Kane up top.
But we need Son to play against Newcastle because it's his only game that he's going to be available.
That's a good point, yes.
Son's not playing is what I'm saying. If
we're in a back three, you're right.
And the other thing about it is, because of the World Cup situation and the players not being match fit and having a pre-season, we might start the season off a bit more defensively.
Yeah.
So with the back three, with two wing-backs, that's a bit more defensive. You then play, you know, because if you say to the wing-backs, don't go forward, then you've got five at the back, two holding or one holding. You know, you've got six players defending. I think we might start like that just because of the World Cup match fitness problem.
You see, I would like to I would love that, Rick. And honestly, like, nothing would make me happier than if Toby had been properly integrated back and him and Poch had made up. But the history teaches us otherwise. Like, what did Poch do with Walker? He gradually phased him out. And that's what he did with Toby at the end
Same
of last season.
Cabal.
Same with Rose.
He phased him out because he knew he was going to go at the end of the season.
Yeah, okay. But we
know Toby's going to go at the end of the season.
So he was phasing Toby out last season because he thought he was going to go. But now we know he's not.
But he is, though, next year.
Next year. But that's a fait accompli now. We know he's going to go at the end of next season.
Some of that was injury, though. I don't think he was in... he just was not fit. When they started to play him... He did not look like his normal self, whether it's mental or
That's
fitness.
True. He did struggle in the FA Cup game.
Yeah. He did,
now he knows.
So he knows. I don't think that had anything to do with him being phased out. I think that had more to do with the fact that
he was disgruntled or whatever it was.
Or he was tired or he wasn't fully recovered.
That's not an issue.
Well, but like I say, I mean... I actually think we should play Toby. I think even if he is going to go, we all know the contract situation. The 25 million release clause kicks in next summer, right? So we could pretty much accept he's going to go. Fine. Play him. What did Man United do when Cristiano Ronaldo was going to leave? Like, he said to Ferguson, I want to go to Real Madrid. Ferguson said... He said, give him... Exactly. Modric is the same. He said, give me another year. That's how we should treat the Toby situation. Just accept he's going to go. Accept it. And just play him as though that's not... Forget the bad blood. Make the most of him as an asset. Because he wasn't an asset
to
us last year.
And it's best for everybody.
He wasn't... Exactly. It's best for everyone.
And that's the point. Because you can use him as a free player. Because if he gets injured, we're going to be without him anyway. You know what I mean? So you might as well play him.
No. We survive without him.
This all makes sense except for the chemistry factor that James was talking about before he left.
Yeah, and that applies more to Rose, I think.
Did you see the pictures of him?
Right, no, they look like thick as thieves. Yeah, no, exactly. So that's the one issue, but that's something we will never know.
He's still an international with Vertonghen.
We will never know.
You know, I honestly think all the animosity between him and Poch is done now.
I hope so.
They know the situation now. It's not hidden. There's no grumbling. There's no moaning. There's no, I want to leave. I want to leave. Oh, no, you don't. I want you to sign a contract. There's none of that now.
Yeah.
We know what's going to happen, so you might as well play.
He took his try at a contract. It didn't shake, but he never had animosity for the squad.
No, yeah. he didn't do a quartile. He didn't.
He's behaved very professionally. Yeah. I agree. And
that deserves something. Yeah. But it does deserve something.
It does. And I'll... Just lastly, because I know we've talked about this for a bit now, but the Rose situation, I agree with Nate, that's more of a potentially more like toxic or troublesome scenario, I think, in terms of, like you're saying, the team morale. I just think he needs to... It's unfortunate. He's our longest-serving player. He's done great things for us, but I just feel like it's reached the point where it's better for all parties if Rose were to go. I take Rick's point about the homegrown players and stuff, but the club are actively trying to sell him. You know, he's been offered by all accounts.
It's gotten a little Kyle Walker.
I think so. I think it's just
let him or treat him with dignity. Yeah.
Just let him go. It's better for him. And it's not ideal that we don't have a backup in place, but maybe Walker Peters can play at left back to a decent standard. You know.
Anything else for prediction for this game before we go to actual predictions? Any other? We're playing Newcastle here.
Mild one. I'll just say Lucas Moura starts because Lamela's injured. And yeah.
I think Lucas Moura is a good shout for a start here. Any other unexpected? Are we going to see Amos? Are we going to see Amos? I'm sorry.
Amos.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rick. I mispronounced you.
Amos.
Rick's
remember
the
it.
Pronunciation police.
Yes. anybody's unexpected that we're going to see in this squad before we go to...
I have no fucking clue what the squad's going to be.
I don't have a clue either.
Skip might be on the bench for this one.
I'll just say subs bench. We might be throwing some curveballs, just like I said, because of rate of attrition right now. But I think starting lineup, generally speaking, it's going to be somewhat... Or it's going to be what we've seen last season.
I disagree. I think Son plays this because we're going to lose Son eventually.
Son will definitely
We're
going
to give him the minutes now.
Because
when he goes international, we're going to lose him.
And I'd love to see the conversation if Pochettino says to Harry,
you're not really that kind of match fit, Harry. Maybe you shouldn't play against Newcastle. I'd love to see that conversation because you know what Harry's going to say.
I think Harry plays. Oh. I think he might not play the whole game, but I think Harry plays.
Yeah, like, I think so. I think Aurier will play at right back as well.
Oh, I think that it will be Aurier and Davis at the fullbacks, definitely.
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's going to be Dier and I'm hoping it's Dier and Dembele in the midfield, but I would not be
surprised. Wait, is Trippier injured?
I just think it's going to he's not going to come right back in. I think Aurier
and you got
Davis
that knock as well. You got that injury.
And it's, despite his critics, Aurier's not that bad in that position in a game like this. So I think we're going to be fine. I think you're going to see Eriksen. You're going to see Sanchez. You're going to see... Yeah, the second center back, is Jan going to be coming right back?
Yeah,
I think yes.
We need him.
I think
him.
Yes, he
him.
Will be. I think Dele Alli might come off the bench, though.
Yeah, I don't think
Alli starts. I think where we can afford it, people will come off the bench, which is why I would not be surprised if Kane starts on the bench, to be honest.
I was thinking that. I was thinking Son might start up front.
No way.
But I kind of do agree with Rick, though. I think it's tough to sell that to Kane. But there would be logic.
Dembele starts on the bench, I think.
Who's playing center mid, though?
I don't know why you look. And Spurs fans in general have got this thing about Dembele.
Because he said so.
He hardly played in the World Cup. You know what I mean? He's had a good break.
He
doesn't have any injuries, which he normally plays with injuries. He's going to play his normal 60
minutes. No, I agree with you. I think he's going to start.
He's going to play his normal 60
minutes. Because there's no one else there.
And then someone else will come in.
Yeah, we don't have many other options, so I think that has to happen.
Let's go to score prediction.
Yes,
give us goal scores.
I want to go home.
Our normal thing. So let's start with Nate. Because you seem excited.
Same score as last year. I think we win 2-0. And I think we don't need a red card to do it. I think we have enough. We have enough. It's a little bit cagey, but I think we get a couple of shitty goals and we do it. I think one of them is, I think we get Sun, and I think we get Eriksen goal.
Tommy.
I'm going to say 3-0. Just to be opposing. I'll say Kane gets... one, I'll say Alli and Eriksen get the other.
So you have Kane scoring in August.
Yeah, why the fuck not?
That's a proud prediction. I like that. Rick?
I'm going to say 6-0. And I'll tell you why. Because fuck you, everybody on Twitter that was moaning about fucking no transfers. And moaning about Levy. And moaning about the club. And moaning, moaning, moaning. Fuck you, we're going to win 6-0.
Okay,
sorry,
Joe.
Bro.
Tough follow that. Well, my brother Tom predicted a 1-0 Tottenham victory. I'm going to show solidarity for the household and say the same. I think Eriksen's going to make the difference, and I think Eriksen will score, and we win 1-0.
So you're going with his prediction exactly. He said Eriksen would come through for the first Spurs. That was his fear.
All right, I'll change it then. Lucas Moura to score then.
Okay.
Don't want to be too... You know,
yeah.
And what's your prediction, Anthony?
Oh, my prediction is a 1-0 as well. I have Eric Dier scoring it on a header with a Trippier cross. I think Trippier.
Well, no, I love that call.
Trippier free kick.
Trippier free kick. Yeah, I'm going to go with a cross of some kind. Anyway, I think that about wraps it up. Great episode, guys. Thanks to James for being here.
Thanks you all for fucking listening. This was long as shit.
Yeah, thanks for this long episode, everybody. Thanks to Rick for editing, Charlie for music and soundboard today. He fixed our problem, I hope. Kevin for social media, Scott and Catherine. Scott's doing a segment coming up, but Catherine for her segment, Victoria for the logo, and as always, the Atlantic Bar and Grill for the use of the recording space. Hit the subscribe button and write us a review on iTunes if you like the pod, or if you don't, check us out on Twitter and Facebook at 4StarSpurs, and our website at www.4starspurs.com. Come and use Spurs.